This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
All right. Welcome back. The current time is 7:02, and you are tuned in here to WRFL Lexington.
That is right. Well, we have interesting news.
Among a lot of other things, there's actually a lot of news this week. It's E3, there's a lot of cool stuff going on. But welcome back to Tech Talks. My name is Grant.
And I am Mitch, and we thank you for tuning in and teching out with us. Even though we didn't do much teching the last hour, we're just going to sort of blast through this hour.
Yeah. You know, I got a lot of stuff lined
let's
up.
Let's just talk nonstop, and once we're done, we'll just play music nonstop, and then once we're done with that, we'll party nonstop, because up next is the Party Panda Power Hour!
And that starts at 8.
That's right, same time Fleece starts.
That's going to be over at Al's Beer Garden.
I believe.
All right, cool.
Anywho, so...
Because I want to tease you, Mitch, first up, we're going to talk about E3.
Hmm. We're not going to talk about the little article I found? No?
No.
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 Oh, okay.
No, we're not.
All right.
So, E3 has been going on this week, and in case you're not familiar with the acronym, it's called E3, but the acronym is actually three E's. It's the Electronic Entertainment Expo. And I don't know how much there is to say, but it's an annual conference. And this year, I think it's always in Los Angeles, but I know for a fact this year it is in Los Angeles. And it's a combination of entertainment and just high-grade electronics, and both software and hardware get shown off there. And I know more than anything that the big thing going on this year is going to be virtual. I think we're going to really see it in the limelight for the first time in a meaningful way. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that's been happening. Of course, all the big guns come out. Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, Ubisoft, Bethesda, EA, all companies that are well known for either making hardware or making games. Some make both, and it's been a big week. And according to Facebook's traffic volume related to each of those companies that I just listed, which of those do you think has had the most interaction on Facebook?
Nintendo.
You'd be wrong, actually.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
Okay. Or on Twitter?
On Facebook.
Okay.
It was Sony. And then Microsoft narrowly eking out Nintendo. And then Bethesda.
See, the reason I said Nintendo is because they finally came out and announced a launch date for Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Which, I'll let you... Do you know what it is?
I do, but I think you probably can explain it better.
Okay, well, Pokemon Go is it's really the first smartphone game app that Pokemon is coming out with. That's an actual game where you catch. I mean, there was Pokemon Shuffle was one recently, but it's an first actual like theme, you know, standard what you'd expect from Pokemon. They finally announced that the game should finally come out in the end of July is when the game should be available on the app stores
That's
about a month.
Really close.
And it's been really anticipated because it is actually augmented reality game that you play with your smartphone. So you turn the camera on and you look around, you can see Pokemon in the real world transposed on real things. And the objective is you just go around and you catch them with your phone. Now, also, they have announced that there is a more or less pedometer-style... they're calling it, like, the Pokemon Go Watch, I believe. and it will simply, it sits on your wrist or on your pocket, and it'll buzz when you walk by where it says there's a Pokemon in the real world, and you can press the button, and it'll either blink red and buzz if you don't catch it, or it'll blink a rainbow color if you did manage to successfully catch the Pokemon. The other interesting concept is that different cities can set up their own gyms. Communities of Pokemon players can come together and decide to establish a gym within a city. And if you travel to that place or travel past it, you can actually challenge some of the members that have uploaded their Pokemon sets onto a server as being members of that gym. So it's actually a really big project. They've been talking about it nonstop for about a year now, and it's just, the buzz has been crazy. There have been leaks, there have been beta scams, there have been so many copies out there trying to emulate Pokemon Go, and it's just it's really excited.
The detail there, I'm really, really impressed with. Honestly, the detailing all the way down to walking around physically to different parts of a city to have different likelihoods of running into certain Pokemon, all the way up to entire larger metro areas being able to establish gyms and being able to compete in those gyms.
Yeah.
I'm really, really impressed.
And it's a really big thing, which is why I thought Nintendo, as far as I know, that was their biggest announcement other than the Zelda, new Zelda game coming out.
That's something I'm excited about.
That's what I had thought. So, anywho, that's Pokemon Go. What were you talking about again? I forgot.
Just E3 in general, if there was anything else cool that you had seen there. Seems like there's...
The Halo Wars 2 trailer. Oh, that thing gave me chills. Just the sound, like this, what it was. So for those of you that don't know, Halo Wars was a Xbox 360 game. It was the only top-down Halo game they made for the console, with the exception of Spartan Attack, which was, I'm fairly certain, only released on tablets and mobile devices. It was a strictly non-console game. It was what Halo Spartan Attack was, and it followed one of the characters in Halo known as Sarah Palmer as she got her intro into the Spartan program. Which, if anyone has played Halo 4, they know that Spartan Sarah Palmer is integral to the story of that game. So, with that, Halo Wars was Microsoft and Bungie's first real exploration of a top-down Halo game. Also, for those of you that don't know what a top-down versus a first play for FPS or first-person shooter is. A first-person shooter is where is your standard, typical, like, Call of Duty game where you can see the gun in your hand, you're playing like you're holding the gun, you're running around.
As though the camera...
is your eyes.
...is embedded in the eyes.
Yes. As in, you are physically the person that, everything you see on your TV screen is your field of vision.
And then a top-down is a game in which your camera perspective is third-person and looking up... from above down, or like bird's eye view. Sometimes it's slightly angled, but a lot of times it's straight down, almost kind of with this 2D effect, like how it looks when you play Pokemon.
Yeah, Pokemon is the best explanation of a top down that I've heard so far. So, the Halo Wars, was interesting in that it's actually in the Halo universe is really early on. It's early in the I guess you could say, chronology of the Haloverse.
Yeah.
In that one of the first planets attacked by the alien race known as the Covenant in Halo was the planet Harvest. So Halo Wars takes place about, I want to say, 15 years after first contact, something like that. And so what ends up happening is... 10 years after the UNSC, the United Nations Space Command, is basically... getting their forces together, and they go back to Harvest and fight off the Covenant and reclaim it. So they spend 5 years fighting off the Covenant off of Harvest. So the main ship that you follow and the main character is a sergeant named Sergeant Forge. The captain is named Captain Cutter. And they're on the UNSC Spirit of Fire, which is a converted colony ship. So what ends up happening is after 5 years, the Covenant more or less come back to Harvest for a second time, and they UNSC has to fight them off again, and it just goes, they more or less end up going down the rabbit hole as the story goes, and end up in a different planet trying to stop the aliens from getting an ancient fleet of warships. And at the end of that game, the UNSC Spirit of Fire goes into a long distance jump where all the crew is more or less put into cryostasis, and that's where that game ended. No one really thought that there was going to be a Halo Wars 2. In fact, I'm pretty sure it, you know, Microsoft kept it so top secret and so, you know, I hadn't heard whispers about it at all, and then all of a sudden it comes out at the E3 and smacks everyone in the face with this epic promo that no one saw coming, that when everyone saw it, they just had chills. I highly recommend you look it up. You can just get on YouTube and look up Halo Wars 2, and you'll see the official E3 teaser trailer. It's about 3 minutes long, and it's definitely worth the watch. So, and that actually does pick up right where Halo Wars left off. It's a direct sequel, and the characters are actually all the same characters, with the exception of whatever characters were lost in the previous game. Sorry, went on a little nerd rant there.
No, it's all good.
Well, it's just interesting that a game that originally was supposed to come out with Apple. Halo originally was going to become an Apple game back in 99, when Macintosh computers were getting back into the gaming scene just a little bit,
and was working,
they were working with Bungie,
closely with Bungie.
And this is actually a story we've run before. So they were working closely with Bungie, which were the creators of Halo, and they...
It was going to be available on a lot of platforms. It was going to be available on PC, on Macintosh, and on, I believe, both consoles was the end goal.
I don't know if they even had consoles planned in 99 for Xbox and PlayStation. Anyways, so what ends up happening is in 2000, Microsoft buys the entire Bungie Game Studios Incorporated. Buy it completely out from Apple and say, well, guess what? We just purchased this company and we're not going to let you have Halo. So more or less, Microsoft stole Halo from Apple. Took an extra year, changed some things around, and you know, sort of remastered it a little, and came out with the first Halo game, and it was called Halo Combat Evolved. And it was really, in all honesty, one of the first first-person shooters to hit the post, you know, post-turn of the century consoles. You know, before that, I think the only FPS was GoldenEye on the N64.
Yeah, there had been very few first-person style games prior to basically Halo, because it was so hard to render that kind of
those graphics.
Those kind of graphics were, you know, they're not strenuous,
especially on the N64. And there was no Xbox at that time. PlayStation was there.
Yeah, no,
but
they were hard, especially console games. There were hardly any console based
games at that point. So then obviously come, you know, 2001, here comes the Xbox, Microsoft's you know, flagship console. They launch it, and it's a wild success. Only actually the Xbox was only out for what, 3-4 years? Because didn't the Xbox 360 came out in like what, 06?
I don't even quite remember now.
I think it came out, I know it was pre-2010. Anywho, so it that console comes out, and then the 360 comes out after it and just sort of revolutionizes the whole game. And Microsoft keeps in with Bungie through four different Halo games, including Halo War. Well, five, including Halo Wars. So it's, again, interesting to see how Microsoft was able to steal a game from Apple and then turn around and make such a large fan base and just really a following and a game that revolutionized the way that we saw FPSs in the early 2000s, and, you know, has really, even to this day, is still leading the charge on FPS games.
Yeah, certainly. I didn't have a whole lot else for this. As far as E3, there's some cool stuff coming out with Fallout that I'm excited about, but that's about the end of the list on stuff for E3. So if you want to take a break for a minute, We'll come back and we'll hit a lot of non-E3 related news, including a story about an adventurous robot that I think you'll be excited about.
All right. Keep it locked all the way left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
See, folks, we told you it'd be a brief break, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, and it was.
So, Grant, I understand you have something I'll chuckle at.
I'm going to save that for.
Okay.
It's a real good one.
Okay. I better be excited when it gets to it.
Just one thing before that. Facebook has announced that Messenger is going to be completely revamped and, quote, will look a lot different. A whole lot different.
I don't know what they did recently, but it just came up on my phone today trying to get me to convert it to where Messenger was my SMS system instead of my default system I have currently.
Yeah, that's actually been an option for a while.
No, I mean, I opened it up and all my SMSs were in there. And I was like, hey, this is what it would look like. Do you want to change it so that we'll actually be your SMS thing? And I was like, no, go away. Don't do that, Facebook. I don't like it when you access my SMSs without my permission. Sorry, continue.
Fair enough, yeah. So, Messenger has been looking for ways to continue to creatively reinvent itself, because there's already way too many just messaging apps out there, you know, and all the big players are established at this point. And honestly, if Messenger wasn't pretty much a mandatory service at this point, I don't think it'd get a whole lot of use. But the head of Messenger now, the design head and the vice president of messaging products, David Marcus, led a talk earlier this week in which he was talking about the options that Messenger has moving forward, which is going to include better integration with Uber, being able to even pay for your Uber through the app and communicate with your driver. There's some stuff coming up with how they think that they're going to be able to use proximity to encourage you to interact with your friends, and some other features. They're bundling it together in a group and calling it Active Now, which is this proximity friend seeking event tie-in to Messenger, so that it's going to be a mechanism by which you can say, hey, I'm on my way to this thing and I want to invite my friends. So you go to share it and you put it through Messenger and you send it to your friends, and it gives them directions and does all sorts of stuff. So that's something that they're working on rolling out. And that sounds really comprehensive and honestly pretty impressive.
It also sounds like a massive drain on mobile data to me.
Probably.
So, well,
I can see how much you love Messenger.
Well, I enjoy it as what it is. You know, keep it simple, Facebook. You don't need, you know, your Facebook. Like, no one else can stand up to you. You just end up buying them out. So what's, you know, I don't know. I just don't see the point. I think Messenger works fine as it is.
Fair enough. And lastly, for this segment, the story Mitch has been waiting for.
So, in earlier today, and I can't tell if this is a joke or not, we'll try to find out and bring this back to you next week, but on the off chance it's not a joke, we're going to go on and run this story.
Well, no, this actually happened.
Oh, it did? It's okay, you've already fact-checked it?
Yeah, no, this actually happened. It's just the circumstances of which we don't necessarily know yet.
So, our lovely friends in the motherland, Russia, has had a little bit of a mishap in, was it Moscow earlier today?
No, it was in Perm.
Perm. So there's an engineering firm, and I'll just keep asking you for the information because you have it pulled up.
Promobot.
Promobot. And so they've been working on a, you know, a robot that is able to navigate its own way around using sensors, and the ultimate end product is a more or less wandering tourist guides, where these robots rove the cities or rove the streets of Perm in order to assist tourists with translation, in order to help call emergency services in the case of an attack, and more or less just be your friendly neighborhood watchbot.
Yeah, we're talking about a robot here whose end goal is learning to navigate human life and stick to the sidewalks and travel around and give directions and be able to provide both printed and verbal instructions in a variety of languages. We're talking about the ultimate tourist bot. It's like those little tourist beacons in you know, where they have information stands or whatever, but roaming around and interactive in a way that isn't really possible with a booth.
So, anywho, the engineers were currently testing its ability to navigate on its own. And one of the engineers left the door open as he went to the restroom or to get coffee or something like that. We don't know the exact circumstances of why the door was left open.
So we're talking about an outdoor facility that they have that has a mix of terrain, and the door was left ajar.
The robot, seeing this, knew that it had not been in that area before, so it decided it was going to go exploring. So our curious little robot proceeded to push open the door, and for about 45 minutes was loose on the streets of Perm before it was finally caught by police officers.
When the battery ran out. Well, and when the battery in the street.
Yeah.
Crosswalk.
Got stuck in a crosswalk because the battery ran out in the middle of Perm. Just this friendly little robot roving around, exploring, being a friendly robot. Not able to do anything. It's literally just going around.
It doesn't even really have, like, arms or anything. It's just kind of this
box that, with wheels.
Little rigid.
It kind of looks like the robot from the Jetsons.
It does,
Without the skirt, the French maid skirt and outfit.
Yeah. No, well, but
it would be funny. Just a French maid robot in the middle of Russia breaking down in a crosswalk.
But yeah, so the police ended up hauling it out of the street and giving it back to its owners. But it's interesting to see that
it made a dash for freedom.
Designed to be curious, can't be trusted with the door open.
Nope. Admittedly, you can't do the same thing with 3 and 4-year-olds. If you leave the door open, they're probably going to wander into the streets as well until they break down in the middle of a crosswalk crying.
Yeah. Likewise, I find this interesting and pretty comparable to what Honda's been working on for a while.
Oh.
So Honda has a robot, and I think it's called, yes, it's called Asimo, like Asimov without the V. And Asimo is a bipedal robot that looks very, very human-like. And Honda's been experimenting with it for a little bit. Curious might be a strong word for Asimo. Asimo is more directive-driven. You say, hey, Asimo, go get me some coffee. And they've taught Asimo where the
coffee pot?
Yeah, like where the coffee machine is and where the vending machines are. And they've made these particular machines that it can interact with. And so what happens is, if you're working at the Honda headquarters, you can use the web interface and it'll bring stuff to you or go fetch things for you. And it's a pretty decently well done robot. They like to act like it's creative in a lot of things, but it's really more of just a gopher or kind of like a butler.
Or an intern.
Or an intern, yeah. Certainly like that.
Sorry, interns. Looks like your job's getting automated.
Oh, boy.
No more internship. Only seeking intern must be robotic and able to be programmed. Anywho.
And lastly, on this related chain of stories, this is one that I dug up in the process of reading about this last story with Promobot. In 2011, there was a company that was advertising their... are you familiar with the term telepresence?
Yes.
So think of it like, take a Roomba and then strap a pole on it, and then put a little TV on top. All right, so you got a good image of what this thing looks like. It can roll around, and it's got a roughly head-level television that's meant to be a way of interacting. And so they set one up in a conference room. The group that's doing it, Double Robotics, set up a demo in which you could log in online and be able to drive this little telepresence around the room. And it was meant to be an advertisement, self-promotion for this company, in which you could get online and play with it and kind of learn a little bit about it. And it was meant to be a way of convincing people that this was going to be worth buying it. Well, one fateful day in November of 2014, one of the workers there went out for a coffee break and left the door slightly open to similar results. It's not really hacking in the traditional sense, but it certainly shares that kind of aura of taking something that exists and using it in a non-intended way. Taking a telepresence that's locked in a conference room and breaking out of that conference room and going for a stroll around the building. You know? I really appreciate the sense of humor with that.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, if you're a company and you've got that kind of thing, you've got to sit there and realize people are probably going to mess with this thing.
That's the first rule of programming anything that's outward-facing.
People are probably going to mess with it. I mean, look at what happened to Tay on Twitter.
Yeah.
That got messed up so fast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, interesting. Well, with that, I believe those are your last article for right now?
For right now.
How many more do we have for today? Do we want to come back now and just...
We got one or two. I think we can take a little bit of a break. Get back to some music. Got some cool stuff coming up.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here at Tech Talks. We will be right back here in a little bit. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks. I am one of your amazingly handsome hosts, Mitch.
And I'm Grant.
The other amazingly handsome host.
I was trying to keep it humble, but thank you.
There's no room for humble and humility on the show. Nope, don't even try to combat it. You know it's true. You know it's true. Anyways, so up next, what do we have? What do we have? What do we have? I'm excited.
What do we have next?
Yes, I chugged a Coke before we did this segment, so that's why I'm really hyper. Kidding. I'm just excited to hear what Grant has to say.
Up next, it's the X-57.
X-57? But Grant, what is that?
It's NASA's new experimental electric plane.
NASA is doing something?
Yeah, so what? You remember the... You remember the solar impulse?
No. What? When did this happen?
The solar impulse plane that started taking off last year in its attempt to navigate the globe with all the solar panels.
Yeah.
Well, it's nearly done with its
journey.
Second voyage because this is actually the solar impulse 2. It's Mark II, and the first one made its trip, and now this one is
making its trip,
but faster. And so they're trying to go all the way around the world. They're nearly done now, but also very much in that line is NASA's new X-57, which has 14, count them, 14 electric motors, and is quieter than a typical small plane. So we're talking about something that's somewhere on the factor of a large personal plane. Not quite even like a small passenger aircraft, but like a very large personal plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it only actually has one seat, but it's capable of carrying far more passengers. So these 14 motors...
Standing room only, everyone.
Yeah. So it's got 14 motors, and the only time it uses all 14 is at takeoff and landing. Otherwise, it just uses the two largest ones out on the edge. And it can glide at about 100 miles an hour. And it can only go for about an hour or so at a time. But I think we're looking at something that...
Now, when you mean go, it means... You mean that
It can only do powered flight for about an hour.
And then it glides at 100 miles per hour the rest of the time.
It flies at 100 miles an hour, and then it glides less than that.
Okay.
So we're talking about something that has a range less than that of the continental U.S. We're talking about something that probably has a range of maybe a state or two of distance right now. But that's still not a bad start if we're talking about hopping our way
across the earth. Cheap flight, definitely. I expect the price on airline tickets to go down if that makes commercial uses.
If
we can get enough electric motors to power a 747.
NASA's actually talking about a line of vehicles that they're working on. This is the prototype for a whole fleet, a whole class of up-and-coming vehicles. They have five larger planes that are in the works that would be capable of carrying, quote, far more passengers and cargo. Mm-hmm. So there's some exciting possibilities with this, and I think we're going to see probably, you know, bound to domestic, small, short-distance flights, but there's still a lot of potential in that when you're trying to just hop over to the end of another state. You know, someplace like, for me, Chicago or D.C. is just far away enough that I don't want to bother with driving when flying is just a little bit faster. So if you're talking about something that could be quiet and decently fast, I think it primes up to be a good option.
Interesting. Well, I look forward to seeing where that technology goes.
I certainly do as well.
What happens if it's you're trying to fly at night?
This one doesn't have any solar panels on it, so it's fine.
Oh. What about the ones that do have solar panels? What happens then? Do they crash?
They crash every night that they fly. But they have... I just lost the word for it. They have a... I'm losing my train of thought. Okay, so the interesting thing about these planes that fly with solar panels is that they actually have two cruising speeds. They have a daytime cruising speed and a nighttime cruising speed. And so the daytime cruising speed is significantly faster and more power intensive than the nighttime one, but leaves them enough room to charge up their batteries so that they can make it through on a light coast through the rest of the night. So the travel speed of these is actually kind of irregular. It's much faster during sunlight hours than at nighttime hours, which leads to an interesting point. If you're flying for a good length of time on a solar-powered plane, you would want to be traveling west. You want to be traveling west because if you're traveling the continental U.S., that could take you a day or two even. And the options there give you more sunlight. You're going with the sunlight. You're having a longer day by stretching it out by being in travel during the circuit. And since you're traveling slower at night, it's to your benefit to be in the flow in the direction of sunlight rather than against it and experiencing shorter days, shorter nights, shorter days. It's to your advantage to have longer days, longer nights. So... it's also, I suppose, to your advantage to try to find during the summer. But we'll see exactly where that goes. And lastly, rounding us out for this show, Local Motors is an Arizona car company that is crowdsourcing vehicle designs and is interested in a new kind of electric car. It's a small electric bus that can hold perhaps about 8 or so people. It's kind of hard to tell from looking at it on the outside. But this minibus, basically, has the ability to self-navigate. It's entirely automated. Yeah.
Interesting.
So this bus and you're going to love the design features on this bus. Look at that bus. Isn't that a real winner of a design?
It at least does not look like a koala.
That's fair. It looks more like a panda, maybe. Speaking of which.
Like if someone put a panda into a square.
Yeah.
But I tell you what's not square and what is a panda. The Party Panda himself, who is up next from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Party Panda Power Hour.
Woo. Yeah, yeah.
So, with that, we are done. Yeah?
Okay. I was going to talk more about the panda bus.
Oh, let's talk more about the panda bus. Okay. We've got just a few more minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. Let's talk about the panda bus.
It really doesn't have a whole lot to it. I mean, it's a very compact bus that is capable of being autonomous, which is an exciting option, I think, for the future. If we're talking about like fully automated trolley systems that could be virtually unsupervised, that people could just kind of get on and off, I think there's some really great potential for that. And as far as urban transportation goes, I think this is a really exciting proof of concept. The idea that you could get a whole bunch of friends together and get on a bus and charter it to go somewhere within a town.
Basically a group Uber.
A group Uber. A grouper. Boom.
Is it like a grouper?
The fish?
I know, you can't eat a grouper, but you can eat a grouper.
No, I think there's some cool potential here with the an automated bus that would have a group Uber kind of feel to it. I think there's some really cool potential.
Interesting. Well, that's cool. I think you're right. I really do think there are going to be some interesting implications of that now that I'm sitting here thinking about it. As far as...
There's a lot of potential.
Because how long is it? Is it about the same size as your normal passenger car?
It's... They're about, yeah. Yeah, it's...
That, or it looked a little shorter based on the picture you sent.
I think that's mostly the angle. The wheel chassis, like the wheel length there, looks like it might be a little bit longer. So it's a 12-seater, by the way. I found the numbers on it. And it's a little over 20 feet long. So it's only slightly larger than a normal car. So that's pretty cool. And
So would you say it's a short bus?
I suppose so. It's a miniature bus.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyways, where did you say this was? China?
No. This is actually our company out of Arizona.
Well,
who's testing it out in DC?
DC, Arizona, China.
More or less.
Yeah. Arizona and China both have an A at the end.
That's correct.
Ha! So you admit it! Alright, we need to go.
All
right. I got the correct bell, so yes. Anyway, with that, thank you for tuning in and checking out with us here on Tech Talks.
That's right. We'll be back next week, same time as always, Thursdays, 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And if we're not, then please send angry emails.
Do it. No, don't do it. Please don't send anybody angry emails.
Well, I mean, you can if you want. We're not trying to tell you what to do. This is your life. It's up to you. If you want to send an angry email, you can.
That's just not good for people's mojo, though.
Well,
we don't need to be egging people on to send bad
angry emails.
Well,
that's what I'm not. I'm not doing that. It's entirely up to them. I'm just saying it's an option.
It is an option, but...
You have the option to send an angry email. You may get fired, but at least it was your choice. And no one told you to do that.
I have no words.
I have the best words. With that, see you next week.